हरे कृष्णा एवरीवन, वेलकम टू भक्ति संगा एंड वेलकम टू द मंथ ऑफ दिसंबर गीता मैराथन। टुडे वील बी डूइंग द सेकंड चैप्टर एंड हर ग्रेस राधिका कस्तूरी माताजी इज गोइंग टू डू द सेकंड चैप्टर भगवत गीता समरी। बिफोर वी हैंड ओवर द कॉल टू हर, आई विल रीड शिला प्रभुपाद कोट फर्स्ट। टुडे इज दिसंबर 5th। If one purposefully commits mistake and sinful life, now I am chanting Hare Krishna, I can do all sinful life. It will become counteracted. That rascal will be punished very, very much. I am living in Vrindavan. Oh, it's a dham. So let me do all nonsense. It will be counteracted. They will be these cats and dogs and monkeys in Vrindavan. Vrindavan, December 5th, 1975. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And we will give a brief introduction about today's speaker, Radhika Kasturi Mataji. I know everybody knows her, but still, I want to do a brief introduction about her. Her Grace Radhika Kasturi Mataji is fondly known as a honeybee devotee. Who collects the nectar of Krishna Katha from many classes, observed hearing and reading. She has developed a nice presenting classes that are rich in philosophy. She has been serving Bhakti Sangha for many several years by helping up in uploading the recordings that you see, mid-morning classes. She'll be uploading that. And she has given many other classes. And she's very popularly known as a Kahoot queen. She does a very nice Kahoot games for all the kids, and she is one of the kids teacher in our kids camp, I mean Bhakti Sangha Kids Academy. Thank you so much, Radhika Kasturi Mataji, for giving your valuable association this morning and enlightening us on Gita chapter 2. Now I hand over the call to you. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. Thank you for giving the opportunity to speak in Bhakti Sangha. It's always a pleasure. Let's get started, devotees. Om Agnyanate Mirandasya Jnananjana Shravakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisheshunyavadi Pashtaipadeshadarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. All right, dear devotees, so let's get started with today's class, which is Chapter 2. Yesterday, you had a very good session with Mitraravind Mataji, and she did Chapter 1. And today we are going to see chapter 2. So this has different subdivisions. I've already presented, I think, the summary session of chapter 2nd when we started off with Bhagavad Gita classes, the summary classes. So I'm not going to go over that with you today. It's going to be, I'm thinking, let's dive into commentaries from Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. So this is kind of the plan for today. I don't know how we would be able to do it in the form of a summary, but still I want to be able to extrapolate the details that the Acharyas have presented for this Bhagavad Gita for chapter 2. So this way we can see some insights. As you all know, this is a summary class. So we will try to, as and when possible, we will try to see Acharya's commentaries. So this is kind of the plan, dear devotees, and we will not be having any PPTs for the session. Okay? So just wanted to give you a few hints here before we start the class, so you know what to expect from this class today. All right, dear devotees. So as you all know, the contents of Gita summarized is chapter number 2. We have it divided into different sections here. The first 10 verses talk about Arjuna's indecision in accepting Lord Krishna as his guru. Here, specifically, the first 3 verses are going to talk about Lord Krishna chastising Arjuna and disapproving his so-called compassion. So here we'll be very much looking forward for the theme for the word, specific word called compassion. What is this compassion? And then 4 to 6 talks about Arjuna's further doubts and confusion. And 7 to 10, Arjuna surrenders to Krishna and Krishna begins to speak. Now, if you look at 11 to 30 verses of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we see different things here. Specifically, it is talking about analysis of body and soul. And if you further segregate that 11 to 13, 11 to 13 talks about, oh Arjuna, you should not lament unnecessarily. All the individuals exist eternally and are changing the changing the bodies is so natural for all of them. So you should not lament. And then Krishna says, tolerate dualities. Equanimity is the eligibility for liberation. Then 16 to 22 talks about the fact that soul never dies and body is perishable. Changing bodies is similar to changing clothes. 25 to 20, 23rd to 25 talks about the qualities of eternal soul. And then 26 to 30 talks about birth and death are inevitable. There is no need to lament for the eternal soul. So now we have seen two themes here. One is Arjuna's indecision. After he being indecisive of what he has to do, he accepted Krishna as his guru. And the second theme we saw is about Sankhya, that is analysis of body and soul. The temporariness of body and the eternality of the soul is the theme for the second part, so as to speak, from 11 to 13. And then 31 to 37 talks about Sakama Karma Yoga. Performing prescribed duties gives enjoyment. So it says, you know what, Arjuna, doing prescribed duties of fighting opens the door for heaven. By avoiding fight, what are you going to incur? You're going to incur only sin. Then the benefit of fighting is that there is going to be, you will get a kingdom in victory, and you're going to be defeated. And you know, as far as if you're going to be defeated in the battle, what will happen to you? You will still go to heaven. This is why you need to fight, Arjuna. Then, after talking about Sakama Karma Yoga, Nishkam Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga, that is detached work without reactions. Here, Krishna talks about dutifully fighting with equanimity, where you will not get any sin. And then there is no loss in this yoga. This Bhakti Yoga, if you were to perform, there is no loss or diminution in this path of Bhakti Yoga. Then he talks about Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. A very, very important thing that we would be seeing in today's class is definitely Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. What is this one-pointed intelligence? We talk about it all the time, but we need to understand exactly what this one-pointed intelligence is in Bhakti Yoga, dear devotees. Because specifically, you know, these verses talk about Bhakti Yoga, importance of Bhakti Yoga. And then finally, he talks about benefits of acting in this Bhakti Yoga. So then he then goes on to the theme to say about Stita Pragna. Who's this Stita Pragna? Arjuna questions about this Stita Pragna. Who's he? What are the symptoms of this Stita Pragna? And then what are the qualities? So we'll be talking about the specific characteristics of Stita Pragna, and then how he engages, the qualities and the destination of the Stita Pragna will also be discussed. So this is sort of the overview of what we'll be seeing in today's class, dear devotees. I know you've all heard Gita several times. You would have also read Srila Prabhupada's purport several times. Even in Bhakti Sangha, we have done several sessions of Bhagavad Gita. And hence I thought maybe I should just speak about commentaries of our acharyas to get a little bit insight to what our acharyas have to speak today, okay, about the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So without any further ado, we will get started, dear devotees. Just give me a minute. All right. Just opening the chapter here. So the first verse, as you all know from second chapter, Krishna is seeing Arjuna full of compassion. His mind is depressed. His eyes full of tears. And Madhusudana, Lord Krishna, spoke the following words. Arjuna, your eyes are filled with tears because of compassion for your own relatives. And you're lamenting. He's lamenting, right? And Madhusudana spoke these following verses. This is what is happening. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? These are not befitting a man who knows the value for life. They lead not to higher planets, but to infamy." So Arjuna is feeling that there is so much compassion that he has for his relatives. And Arjuna is saying, compassion is, Krishna is saying, compassion is kashmalam. It is moha. It is just illusion. Very strongly he's speaking about Arjuna. He's saying, yes, this is definitely illusion. And attachment, bewilderment, all this is due to illusion, right? And from where did this illusion come? It is not good for people who have good prestige in the society, Arjuna. This kind of moha should not be there for a person who is very well established in society. In society, whoever is very well established, whoever has some respect, whoever is civilized, this kind of moha is not appropriate for that person. This kind of moha, it's not going to lead you to higher planets, or it is not going to give you fame even in this earth. Okay, like this, Krishna is telling to Arjuna. So he's telling, oh, you're having this moha, and this moha is not at all appropriate, my dear Arjuna. Then he says, oh, son of Partha, do not yield to this degrading impotence. It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart, oh, chastiser of enemy. Arjuna, who are you? If you were to ask, who are you? You are my aunt's son, my relative. How can I expect such a moga in this critical situation of you? Right? For a man, this is not good. Enemies are standing in front of you and you don't want to fight with them. What is this? And you're my relative. You're my aunt's son. It's not good for you, actually. Maybe it's good for others who are fallen Kshatriyas. But you are a very well-established Kshatriya. You're a great fighter. You're one of the best fighters of this world. And you don't want to fight? What is this? What will people think of you? Right? You are my friend. And being my friend, you can't expect, I can't expect this kind of cowardness from you. And Arjuna is saying, what are you saying, Krishna? What are you saying? Krishna, whatever you're saying, you know about me, I'm not covered. Don't suspect me like that. I'm not Nabu, I'm not what you're talking, you know, I'm not impotent. And you're seeing lack of heroism in me. That doesn't mean I'm a coward. That doesn't mean I'm impotent. See, because Drona, Bhishma, you look at them. They're all my gurus, right? And how can I think of killing them? Because they are my elders. They are my teachers. And not killing teachers is dharma. Shastras is teaching this. So that's why I don't want to fight. Not only that, see, these Dhritarashtra sons are nothing for me. You know, in Ajnatavasa, in Virat Parva, you know that. I single-handedly defeated all of the sons of Dhritarashtra, Bhishma, Dronacharya, all of them were single-handedly defeated by Arjuna. Krishna, you forgot about this? What do you think of me? Am I covered? Do you think I'm like that? Instead of that, you should think that I have compassion, right? I have compassion for Dhritarashtra's sons. They can be easily destroyed by my weapons. And this compassion, it's nothing but I'm following dharma. I don't want to lose my brothers. I don't want to kill them. Like that, Arjuna is replying. So, you know, this is, are you, I mean, and then he poses the question, you're saying, and Krishna is saying, okay, you know, you have compassion for Dhritarashtra's sons. That's what you are saying. But I'm saying that this is nothing but Soka and Moha. It's lamentation. It's not intelligent. And what you're saying, compassion, that is moga. Because you have attachment for your grandfather. And that is why if they are killed, you may get lamentation. Soka and Moha. Because of Moha, you will get you will get lamentation. That's why you don't want to kill. It's not your intelligence to follow dharma. No. This is just shoka. This is just lamentation. You want to avoid this lamentation because of your attachment. Bodily attachment. You have an attachment for bodily relationship. And this is indicating what? This is indicating hridaya daugbalyam. This is indicating that you have weakness in heart. My dear friend, just leave this weakness of heart. Get up. Sit in front of everyone in the chariot. Please get up. You are the person who can give pain to your enemies. Fight with them. Fight. This is what Krishna is telling Arjuna. Now, Arjuna is saying, oh killer of enemies, oh killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle of men like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship? You don't know Krishna. You don't know. These people are worshipable for me. If I don't worship them, if I don't respect them, then the benefit for you, it will all be stopped. The will of providence will stop. Any goodness or any benefit that I would get, everything will be stopped. That's why I'm ceasing myself from fighting. That's why I don't want to fight. I'm just following Dharma Sastra. How can I kill my teacher, my grandfather who brought me, who, you know, they were the ones who grew me up, who taught me education, these skills, this knowledge, whatever I have is because of them. My grandfather took care of my whole, you know, he took care of my life. And with this body, how can I kill him? They're all very, very respectful people. How can I disrespect them? How can I fight with them? And Krishna is saying, hey, you're thinking like this? You're thinking like this, but your grandfather, your teacher, it's not what you're thinking. They are holding the weapons and they are ready to fight with you. They are not going to withdraw themselves from fighting. Oh, saying, oh, Arjuna, he is my beloved grandson. I'm not going to fight with him. They are not saying that. And you don't want to fight with him? What are you saying, Arjuna? Yes. Arjuna is saying, yes, I can't fight with them. Because they are respectful for me. Very, very respectful persons they are. I should actually, you know what I should do? I should really offer flowers to their lotus feet. This is what I should do. Not shooting the arrows. The sharp arrows. I cannot even imagine those sharp arrows piercing on their body. No. But I can do one thing. I can just offer flowers to their lotus feet. What do you think, Krishna? Krishna, tell me. Did you fight with your teacher? Did you fight? Did you fight with the Yadus? Did you fight with Sandipani Muni? You always fought with your enemies only, na? Did you fight with your guru? Did you fight with your elder Yadu family? You always fought with your enemies. Did you fight with your own people? Can you show one example from your life? Krishna, you are Madhusudana. You killed Madhu. Madhu is one of the names of the demons and you killed Madhu. That is why you are Madhusudana. You are the killer of the enemies and you are the killer of relatives. How can you expect from me to fight with my own relatives? You don't have one example in life or to say that you fought with your relatives or with your guru. This is showing that you can understand how Arjuna is so deep in his attachment to not follow his duties. Right? Many times in our life, we don't want to follow our duties because we have so much attachment for our own people. Because of our pain and pleasure, it again comes from the senses, dear devotees. And this is why Arjuna is saying, I don't want to fight. See, we because of these senses, we do go through pain and pleasure. Meaning, say for example, the temperature is cold, it's winter, you're not able to get up. So because of, again, the senses feeling that pain, you don't want to get up. Right? These are all mental, and that means we are acting on the mental or bodily platform. Bodily inconvenience is what is leading a person to not do his duty. This is very common, isn't it? And here, Arjuna is going through this pain. If he sees the death of his grandfather, death of his teacher, he's going to get pain to his senses. That's the main problem, actually. He doesn't want Soka. And whatever the compassion he's having towards Duryodhana, that is Moha. He's thinking himself as so-and-so, Pandu's son, uncle's son, thinking himself as body and his and the relationship associated with the body. Again, these are all relationships is coming from the body, right? So this is all Moha, according to Krishna. So this is what is sort of an introduction of, you know, that is coming ahead. I mean, you just need to understand the context so we are able to see what is the mood of Arjuna and what is the mood of Krishna. So what is the main problem that Krishna is saying in Arjuna, and what is Arjuna thinking? You know, it is, he's thinking that it is compassion, but Krishna is saying something else. Hope you're all able to understand the first few verses, dear devotees. Now let's get into the again, these are all commentaries from Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakura. Obviously, I told you that you probably have read Srila Prabhupada's purports, and we've gone through this several times in the summary sessions as well. Now, moving on. As I told you, the second theme is talking about the eternality of the soul, right? Analysis of body and soul. Here we'll be going through a few verses. Okay. Arjuna is giving many, many arguments not to fight based upon his Soka and Moka. He has a lot of weakness in his heart, because of which he's seeing all his relatives going to die, and it's going to cause so much pain to him. And the reason he has to fight with them is, it's not clear to him. Why should he fight with them? It's going causing so much pain. And why should I, do this? It's his attachment is covering this pain by thinking he has, oh yeah, he has respect for elders, he has respect for his Gurudev. But Krishna is saying all this is not intelligence, it's just your attachment, it's just your ignorance. And because of this ignorance, it's just your weakness of heart. Okay, Arjuna is saying, oh, I'm not interested in fighting with Duryodhana and his brothers. He's saying, yes, it's all compassion, Krishna. What are you saying? I'm not a coward boy. I'm not covered. You know, I can just defeat all of them at a stretch. Now, that is why Krishna is going to give him an explanation of who he is. He's identifying himself on the bodily platform, and because of it, he's saying that these things. So he wants him to clearly understand who he is. He's telling about gross and subtle bodies. You know, Arjuna, there are this gross and subtle body. They're all temporary, and you cannot change their nature. The nature of gross body, what it is destruction. And nature of subtle body, you know, you will have subtle body till the time you're liberated. After liberation, there is no more subtle body. Are you all able to understand this point, dear devotees? What is the nature of a gross body? The nature of the gross body is that when you die, this gross body will go. It will be destroyed. And what about the subtle body? The subtle body is nothing but the antakarana, right? The antakarana is mind, intelligence, chitta, and buddhi. Chitta and mind, intelligence, false ego, and chitta. So this is what constitutes the subtle body. And what about the subtle body? When it will be destroyed? It will be destroyed at the time of liberation. Till that time, it's going to hang on with you. Even though the gross body is destroyed, the subtle body will still travel with you as you go through the different phases in your life. Different bodies, yes, comes with you. This is the point, dear devotees, that you need to understand. So you can't change these two natures. So that is why you have to understand that a learned man never feels or laments either for gross body or subtle body. You have to understand this point, Arjuna. That is why you have to be on top of Jnana Shastras. Jnana Shastras are telling you, you're saying Dharma, Dharma, and talking about Jnana Shastras, which is top of Dharma Shastras. Okay, so the permanent thing is what? It is Atma. And it is going to, obviously, he's going to talk about Atma in depth. But then, everyone is a soul. So, what you have to do is, so because of bodily attachment, one is not able to understand who he is really. So ultimately, you cannot and we cannot realize himself as soul as long as we identify ourselves with a body. That is why what you need to do is, you need to understand this Jnana Shastras. Okay, so I'm going to explain you and help you understand who you really are and what Jnana Shastras actually talk about. So the byproduct of, you know, as you perform dharma, automatically artha is going to come. And artha is what? Artha, I mean, by getting this money, what is going to lead to? It is going to lead to enjoying of the sense objects. But that is not the ultimate goal of performing the dharma. We know from Bhagavatam also that the ultimate purpose of dharma, what is Bhagavata dharma? Bhagavata dharma means to understand who you really are. That is the servant of Krishna. So the purpose of dharma is to realize oneself as the soul. He's talking about Jnana Shastras here, right? Bhagavata dharma talks about who you are, and you are nothing but the servant of the Lord. But here Krishna is talking about Jnana Shastras, which talk about the point that the purpose of dharma, you get artha, and by getting artha, oh yeah, I want to simply enjoy my life. No, no, that is not the ultimate goal of dharma. By performing these prescribed duties, ultimately one has to realize himself as the soul. This is the purpose, my dear Arjuna. So he talks about the soul. One, I mean, he talks about obviously Atma, another one is Paramatma. So, and then he says, you know, as a soul, you don't have any birth date. There is no birth date. There is no beginning date. Birth date means meaning, beginning date, right? For the soul, there is no beginning. You are always there from anadi, without any beginning. Can you take back and trace when, where you born? No, you cannot. Actually, it's impossible. There is no adi. It's difficult for us to imagine with our material mind how this adi is possible. It's not there, because with our material mind and material intelligence, whatever we do in material life, we experience the objects has a birth date. Take, for example, a pot. A pot has a beginning date. House. House has a beginning date. Pencil. Yes, it has a beginning date. A tablecloth. Yes, it has a beginning date. Laptop, mobile. Everything has a beginning date. And how are we to understand that there is no beginning to the soul? But Krishna is saying, soul is not like that. Even I am not like that. He is talking about himself as Paramatma. He's telling himself, yes, you know, if you look at Paramatma, Paramatma also doesn't have a beginning date. You were there in the past, not only you, all these kings, they were there in the past as souls. There is no beginning for them. It's not like, as I told you, it's not like the objects that we experience in everyday life. If we look at it with our material intelligence, it's not even possible for us to conceive this fact that there can be something without a beginning. Right? So, this is what Krishna is trying to tell Arjuna. See, he's just trying to convince Arjuna to say, oh, you should not think that these people are not going to exist in the future. You know, you, I, and everything, everybody will be there. Like a pot has a beginning and an end date. But it is not like that for a soul. The soul always exists. He is giving a different knowledge to Arjuna. Arjuna, till now, he has given so many arguments and there is a kind of reluctance in him. He is seeing all the time these brothers, these grandfathers, his uncles, and Arjuna's arguments are more so on the bodily platform. And because of it, he is not finding reasons to see any, there is no reason for him to fight because it's giving him pain. And now Krishna is taking him to a superior platform to help him understand, oh, you know what? You're not the body. You're the soul. What? The soul has no beginning date and no end date. It is always there. And then he says this beautiful verse, Dehinosmin Yata Dehi, right? As an embodied soul continuously passes in the body from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes from one body to another. And the sober person is not bewildered by such a change. So here our acharyas are giving a beautiful, beautiful purport. Again, Krishna is saying, we both exist forever. One may say, Atma has connection with the body. Atma has connection with the body. But how are we to understand that? See, for everyone, what is the most liking object? When asked that question, he himself, this is the fact, Atma is the most likable object. And since the body is connected, the body is also dear. Hope you're able to understand this point here, devotees. A very important point. What is the most likable object, most liking object to a person? It is his Atma. And since the body is connected to the soul, it is also dear to him. And the body, to the body, we have connections with sons, brothers, and all others. So the first one, soul is dear. Okay, he himself feels so dear. To that soul, who's connected? Body is connected. And this body is also one of the likable objects. He likes his body because it's connected to the soul. Now, this body has relationship with son, brothers, father, wife. And everything is coming, this connection is coming due to the body, right? Wife, son, father, mother, relatives. Everybody, they are all connected to this body and hence they are dear to him, right? So, when you are going to be destroyed, one can get so much lamentation, yes? This is what one may say. This kind of argument one may give. In response to this, Krishna is saying, because, see, so when you are going to be destroyed, one can get so much lamentation, yes? So, this is one of the arguments that people may give. In response to this, Krishna is saying, my dear Arjuna, to the soul, through this body, childhood, see, through this body, what are all coming? Childhood is coming. The soul is not becoming the child. The soul is getting this childhoodness through the body. Similarly, youthhoodness, right? And old age and so on. So once the youth is over, then you're getting old age through this body. And then the soul is also getting another body. Once you're old, once you're destroyed, then another body is got. So to the soul, you see, through the body, you're getting this different phases that are childhood, youthhood, old age, and then getting another body. Right? And what is happening here? So during childhood, when you move into your youthhood phase, are you lamenting? Are you lamenting? Because it's getting destroyed. That phase is getting destroyed. When you turn into a youth from a child, are you lamenting for that? Oh, my childhood is gone. I am not able to do anything. Are you lamenting or are you feeling happy about it? Dear devotees, what are your thoughts? Are we feeling happy about the fact that when we progress from one to another, are we lamenting childhood to youth? Or are we lamenting?
No, Mataji, we are happy.
We are happy, right?
No,
so that's where Krishna is coming. He's telling you, oh my God, see, you are not lamenting when you're going through different phases of your life. Then, obviously, Bhishma and Drona, if they are going to die, they are going to get a new body. Why are you lamenting? Right? Why are you lamenting? So, youthhood is destroyed and then we get old age, you know, and then childhood is destroyed, youthhood is given. We feel happy about it. So, what's this? Therefore, ultimately, Krishna is saying, if one may give happiness or one may give lamentation, no problem. But the fact is, Bhishma and Drona are going to get new bodies. should be happy about it. These old bodies and these old bodies of Bhishma and Drona are going to be gone. They became old. This is the pace of life. It's going to be old and they are going to get new bodies. And as a soul, you don't have to worry. You are the soul. So you just have to accept this. Even Bhishma and Drona, they are going to get new bodies. You have to accept, like how you are accepting the fact there is from childhood you are going to get youthhood and youthhood to old age. You are accepting this fact. Maybe you are happy about you turning from childhood, you are becoming youth. You may feel happy, and then you may feel, oh sad, oh I'm getting old. But the fact is, you are going through these changes, and you are going to get new bodies after these old bodies, and the soul is never destroyed. So why are you lamenting? Why are you lamenting, Arjuna? Like that, our acharyas bring about this particular purport to help us understand. Yes, this is just normal. You are going through these different phases. One may feel happy or sad. Doesn't matter. You are the soul. And there is nothing to lament about. Like you don't lament about you going from one phase to another. Similar way, even when you are getting from old body to a new body, you should not lament. And then he talks about Matras Parshastu Kaunteya. He says, here, O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of wind and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception. One must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Again, you know, in the purport, our acharyas talk about a beautiful point to talk about cold and heat. For example, in winter season, cold will give us pain, right? The senses, when they come in sense of when they come in touch with the sense objects, they feel that pain. In the winter season, it's giving them pain. And in the same thing in the summer season, it gives them pleasure. Heat, it gives so much pleasure in winter season. But when it comes in contact, you know, on the summer, there is so much heat, it's giving us pain. The same thing at different times is giving both pain and pleasure. So that is why the pain and the pleasure, where are they coming from? These are all temporary. Okay, you have to bear with it. These are all temporary. Now, in the commentary, the pain and the pleasure, it's being said that they are coming because of contact of the sense object with the senses. And what is, and the main thing is, it is a function of mind or the antakarna. Krishna is slowly taking Arjuna to a different platform actually. Gradually, he's helping him understand who he is. And then he says, see, he talks about the subtle body, right? The subtle body is nothing but intelligence, ego and mind. This constitutes the antakarna. On the top of the subtle body, there is gross body. And now there are sense objects. So what is the point he's trying to say? The senses are coming in contact with the sense objects. And what is happening as a result of this? It is leading to pain and pleasure. And these are all functions of antakarna. It's just transformation of antakarna. It's not the function of the soul. The soul is not getting this pain, the pain and pleasure. All these are manovrittis, he's saying. He's helping him understand that he is identifying himself with the qualities of the subtle body, my dear devotees. So if you were to understand what is happening here, the senses are coming in touch with the sense object, because of which there is transformation to the antakarna. There is no transformation or change that is happening to the soul. These are all manovrittis. Krishna is saying the soul is permanent. Because of him identifying himself with the qualities of the subtle body, he's thinking he's getting this pain and pleasure. He's thinking himself to be, yes, I'm a grandfather, I'm a grandson. I'm a student of my teacher. Because of this, he is getting a lamentation. And then, so he's telling, this is why you are bewildered. Pain and pleasure is coming, and these are all functions of antakarana. It is not a function or transformation of the soul. It's just modification to the antakarana. Those are all the qualities that belong to the antahkarna and not the qualities of the soul. And that is why you are feeling this pain, my dear. That is why you are going through this illusion. And he's helping Arjuna to understand this point deeply. That is why you need to tolerate, because these are nothing to do with the soul, and you are soul. So there is a beautiful example. You know, if you were to understand this, I am not this body, I am the soul, right? So it means, say for example, some jaggery is there. Okay, the ant in the house, it's just eating and biting and eating the jaggery. Now, are we getting the pain because the ant is eating some jaggery that was on the floor? Are we getting pain? Dear devotees, are you able to understand this example? Say for example, there is a jaggery on ground and some ant is there and it's eating some jaggery that was left on the floor. Are we getting some pain because of that?
No, Mataji.
No. Okay. Why? Because you think the jaggery is different from you, right?
Yes.
But if you feel that this jaggery is mine and the ants are eating, then it will give pain to you. Similarly, the body is different from me. I am the soul. I am different from this body. And so changes that are happening because of senses coming in touch with the sense objects, that is giving pain and pleasure. That is going to come and go. They are not going to stay permanent. They are not going to be with you permanently. They are going to come and they are going to go. This happiness and distress is going to come and go. I have to simply become patient. Right? I just have to bear it. So this way, he is raising the consciousness of Arjuna beyond his bodily platform. He is trying to explain him. Yes, Matra Prashastu Konteya. So he is first telling him, you are not the body. You are not the gross body, then he says. Then he says, no, you are not the subtle body. These two are temporary. But you are what? You are the soul. And I am what? I am the super soul. We are all permanent. You and I, we are all permanent. So that's why we should not worry about these. Because of attachment, one may get pain. So some objects which are connected to the soul, it may give us pleasure because it is connected to the soul. Some objects which are connected to the soul, again, gives us pain. But all these, the pain and pleasure, it will come and go. It is like boyhood to youthhood. It will come and go. The pain of losing youthhood or getting old age, you're getting the pain or you're getting the pleasure for destruction of your childhood? No, you're not getting that. So you're accepting the two. You're accepting these two phases of life, childhood, youthhood, old age. So the change of bodies, you should accept. Like this, be prepared. You don't identify yourself with the subtle body. You're thinking yourself as the subtle body and then you're lamenting. But you're not the subtle body, my dear. This is how he's helping him gradually to go through these phases. Go through and help him understand that he is not the body, but he is the soul. And in 31 to 37, he is talking about performing his prescribed duties is going to give him enjoyment. So he is telling Arjuna, you know what, definitely doing your duty is very, very important. And he says there is no better engagement than fighting. Swadharma is what you need to do. So, and because of this fighting, the doors of heaven are open for you. And if you don't fight, you are going to incur sin. So that is the reason he's saying for Arjuna to fight with him. For Arjuna to go and fight in the battlefield. And then, if you're not going to fight, what will happen to you? You will lose your reputation as a fighter and people will speak of your infamy. So that is why you need to fight, my dear Arjuna, he says. That the great warriors who regarded you as highly will consider you insignificant, thinking, oh, Arjuna, you know what? He has left the battlefield without fighting. And people will just demean you. Your enemies will speak unkind words about you. They will start to criticize you. That will be really, really painful for you, my dear. So go and fight in the battle. So this way, he is actually instigating Arjuna. He is telling him, yes, do your Swadharma. This is what you need to do. So he's telling him about Sakam Karma Yoga and its benefits in 31 to 37. And then in 38, our verses come where Bhakti Yoga is being spoken about, my dear devotees. So maybe we will just try to briefly touch upon that area and understand a few insights of what our Acharya say. And then we will move on to the Stita Prajna section. All right, so this is what we will do for today. Just we have 10 more minutes, I believe, in terms of time. Okay, yeah, 10 more minutes we have. Okay, so we will touch upon this verse, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, and then cover that a little bit. As you all know, there is a difference to Bhakti Yoga and the other processes of yoga that we talk about, right? It's a different one. Bhakti is Shravana Kirtanadi Rupa Bhakti. That means it's Kevala Bhakti. We all know Anya Bilashita Shunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavritam, Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Rutama. That means this Bhakti should not be mixed with any kind of karma or jnana. It has to be completely pure. Now, this Bhakti Yoga is what is being described from sloka number 40 to 46. So he is talking about Kevala Bhakti or Shuddha Bhakti. To do Shuddha Bhakti, what kind of mental state or buddhi, what kind of consciousness should a person have? What kind of consciousness is required? So this chapter also talks about while performing Nishkam Karma, what kind of consciousness one should have. Nishkam Karma Yoga, what does it lead to? It leads to purification of heart, meaning Antakarana Shuddhi. Where this person who is a Nishkam Karma Yogi, he is not attached to the results of his work. It's a very, very tricky state because you work, but you're not attached to the results of your work. To be situated as a Nishkam Karma Yogi and attain perfection in that is very tough. This is the mental state that is required for a Nishkam Karma Yogi. He should not be affected by profit, loss, pain, pleasure. He should not be affected by dualities. This is the consciousness that is required. Then only he can progress to the next level, which is Jnana Yoga. And the perfection in Jnana Yoga is what is Stita Prajna. But before that, he is also giving Arjuna an overview of what is this Bhakti Yoga and what is the consciousness of a person who is required to practice this Bhakti Yoga. That Krishna brought this topic just to clarify that even if you were to do Nishkam Karma Yoga, even if you were to do that, see, in Nishkam Karma Yoga, what do you do? You have to be detached from the results of the work. So what? Who do you offer it to? You offer it to the Lord. You do Karmarpanam. Because you want to be detached, you do Karmarpanam. But whom you have to do? You have to do it to the Lord. And for that Nishkam Karma Yoga to work, Bhakti is needed. So now, if Bhakti is needed for that, what is this Bhakti, which is pure Bhakti, that he wants to clarify? And that is what he's doing from these verses, 41 to 46. So here, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, we just talk about it a little bit in brief. To perform this pure devotional service, he says, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is needed. That means resolute consciousness. In the case of Karma Jnana, the practitioners who do Karma Jnana, the Karma Yoga, they are diverted into many branches. Okay, there are so many branches. Some may say, I need to go to heaven, I need to go to this, I need to do that, yajna, that yajna, and then component of bhakti is also needed. In this way, it's many branched. But when it comes to Shuddha Bhakti, it is a single-minded state is required. That is why Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is talked about, which is clarified in the purport of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He says, Buddhi means the state of mind. There's only one state of mind, she says. Then there is an example quoted to help us understand what that one state of mind is. This person who has a single state of mind, he has to see only one target. For example, in the case of Arjuna and other Pandavas and Kauravas, you may be knowing the story, right? Where Dronacharya is teaching to all of them archery. And then he wanted to check to see how the concentration of everybody is. And then he calls people. He's showing one small bird which is on the tree, and he asked, he gave a bow and arrow, and he's asking each one of them, what are you seeing? Someone is saying, I'm seeing a tree. Someone is saying, I'm seeing the branches. Someone is saying, oh, nice fruits are there. Another is saying, I'm seeing a bird. Somebody is saying, I'm seeing a head of the bird. But Arjuna is saying, I'm seeing the eye of a bird. And then Dronacharya asked him, are you able to see anything? He's saying, I'm not able to see anything else. I'm only able to see this eye of the bird. So that is the concentration we are talking about here, devotees. In order to reach a particular goal, this is the single state of mind that is required, which is being spoken about. Single-mindedness is what you say, right? Resolute intelligence. Single-mindedness. Similarly, in Bhakti Yoga, that kind of focus is needed to reach the goal. That is why they say, Jnana Karmati Anavritam Anukulyena Krishnam Shilanam Bhakti Ruttama. If we understand that one verse properly, then we understood what is Bhakti Yoga. What is pure devotional service? Only one thought. Bahushyata hi anantasya. In the case of a shooter, he seeing only the target. Similarly, in the case of a practitioner, he has only one thought. He is only seeing one object, and he has to have only one thinking. This is what Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says. He says, my Gurudev ordered me to do chanting the holy names, remembering the Lord, worshipping Lord's lotus feet, and doing service to the Lord. And this is direct devotional service. Direct devotional service means Shravana Kirtanadi Rupa Bhakti. We talked about it. I mean, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu talks about the 64 elements, items that is needed in Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. No other things. See, if you are doing this karma, Nishkam Karma Yoga, or if you are doing any kind of karma, offering to the Lord, are they direct devotion? No, they are not direct devotion. Shravana Kirtanadi Rupa Bhakti, the 64 elements spoken in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they are directly connected to Krishna. Hearing. Now we are doing hearing. This is directly connected to Krishna. Kirtana. Chanting. Chanting the names. Glorifying the Lord's names. Yes. It is direct connection to Lord Krishna. Remembering. Yes. Direct connection to Krishna. These are all direct devotional activities. So this is what is Vyavas. That is my. And who is my object of service? Krishna. He is my savior. Savior. I can't leave this practice of Bhakti Yoga because he is my only savior. Be it whatever happened to me, I may become poor, I may become penniless, no problem. But I have Krishna as my savior. Always practicing Bhakti, no matter what your situation is. I may get happiness, I may get sorrow. I may be destroyed in this samsara, but I have to keep continuing this path of Bhakti Yoga. There is no loss for me. This is the state of mind that is talking about in Vyavasaya Matmika Bhuti. I am not this body. I am the servant of the Lord. And based upon this knowledge, what I do, I control my mind and engage my mind in activities of devotion. So he helps us understand that for Bhakti Yoga, a single-pointed, resolute determination is required. Then you can do, I mean, obviously, when it comes to Karmakanda, there is a differentiation here that he talks about. Then he says there is also some obstacles in one-pointed intelligence. For example, people who have too much sense enjoyment, material opulences, they are bewildered and they are stolen by lust and greed. Hence, these are all obstacles for one-pointed intelligence. But you know, Arjuna, you have to rise above all of these. And then he says, you have to practice Nishkam Karma Yoga by and by working in a very detached way. Never be attached to what you're doing. That's when he talks about this beautiful verse, Karmanyevadhikarasti ma phaleshu kadachana. Then he says, yes, never do your duty. You have the right to perform your duty, but you're not entitled to the results of the action. Never consider yourself as the cause of the results of the action. Never be attached to the results. So this is how you have to be. Then he talks about the benefits. Or once you progress from Nishkam Karma Yoga and you enter into Jnana Yoga, what is the state of that person who is situated in the platform of Jnana? That is when he talks about Stita Prajna. He talks about various aspects of how and what is Stita Prajna's consciousnesses and characteristics are. It's a beautiful theme, dear devotees. A few things there. He says, Kha Bhasha. What are the general, he asked this question. Arjuna questions about Stita Prajna and he says, oh, what are the general symptoms of this person? How does he speak? If he is going to receive praise and blame, affection or hate, what is the sort of reaction he has externally or internally? Then he says, how does he sit? Kim Asita. How does he restrain his senses from sense objects? Then how does he walk? How does he respond to the sense objects? So these are the questions that are posed by Arjuna about this Stita Prajna. See, there is a gradual transition that is happening, right? For Arjuna, first he was talking about Dharma Shastras. Then Krishna clarified Jnana Shastras. Then he said, oh, you know, if you don't even have to go to that level. Even if you think of it from a Sakama perspective, what is in store for you? You are going to get happiness by going to heaven, by fighting. And people will think bad of you and demean you if you're not fighting. They'll say Arjuna is a coward, he ran away. Okay? So this is Sakama. And then he helps Arjuna understand, oh, you know, even to perform Nishkam Karma Yoga, there is bhakti element needed. And what is this bhakti yoga? He talks about pure bhakti yoga in few verses. And then he tells him, yes, this is Nishkam Karma Yoga, where you do karmarpanam. And there is also a bhakti element that is there. And as you perfect this Nishkam Karma Yoga, you enter into the Jnana Yoga platform. And when you enter into Jnana Yoga platform, there is certain characteristics of a Jnani. And the characteristics of the Jnani are seen in this the Prajna. And what are the characteristics? He then says, yes. And then he talks about a few things. Like, for example, he's telling he this person who is a Stita Prajna, he's always equipoised in different life's dualities. And there could be anything that could come to him, but he's always situated in peace. He doesn't get bewildered or he doesn't get agitated. He doesn't become overjoyed. No. So this is how the state of Stita Prajna is. He understands all these urges are temporary and we need to resist them only for a finite time. This is what is Stita Prajna. And then he says, how does this person respond to objects? When it comes to sense objects, what is the state of this person? As long as we have material desires, we are going to be restless. This is the point, dear devotees. See, we have to understand anything in terms of material attachment is going to give you agitation and restlessness. That is why the people who are situated in bhakti yoga, constantly thinking about Krishna, they are always at peace. Why? They don't have any attraction for material things. This material things is what is going to make you restless. Remembrance of Krishna, thinking about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, all these activities are going to create auspiciousness for you and you will always be situated in peace. Knowing you're connected to Krishna gives you peace of mind. So, he talks about this person, how he responds to sense objects. And then, he further understands, okay, what are the general symptoms of the Stita Prajna? He says that these people always, they are in a very steady state of mind. They are always, they are always situated in Krishna. There is, when it comes to raga, dvesha, they are able to control that. Aversion, they are able to control when the senses come in touch with the sense objects, they just move inward. Like this, they are always acting according to the scriptures. This person is free from attachment, this person is free from aversion, and he is able to control his senses when it comes in contact with the sense objects. And this way, they are able to obtain these principles of freedom by complete mercy of the Lord. Like that, he says. And then, finally, he talks about, like a tortoise, one is able to withdraw his limbs from the shell whenever they come in contact with the sense objects. This way, they are perfectly and fixed, they are firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. So these are all the characteristics we are devotees. And then, Stitha Prajna, how a steady intelligence is obtained. Therefore, because of the steady intelligence, they are able to restrain the senses from the objects, of the sense objects. O mighty arm, Arjuna. And then he says this verse, Astita Prajna's day and night, what it is, what is night for all the beings is the time of awakening of the self-control. That is Astita Prajna. The time of awakening for all beings is the night for the introspective sage. So here, there are two types of intelligence which is being spoken about. Astita Prajna's intelligence is always fixed on the soul, and that is what is giving him bliss. And the materialistic people's intelligence is fixed on the sense objects, which is what is giving them the dualities, the happiness sometimes, and then lamentation some other times. So this is how the night for the Stita Prajna and the day for the materialists are so different and contrasting. And Stita Prajna is unagitated by desires. He is not at all agitated. Whatever be it, he always remains peaceful and undisturbed, because he doesn't have any material desires per se. So with this, the destination of the Stita Prajna is being quoted here. The spiritual and godly life is attained by a person who is not bewildered. And thus, he is situated even at the hour of death. One can enter the kingdom of God and attain the deathlessness. So this person who is a Stita Prajna, he has given up the objects of the sense enjoyment. He is without any desires, and he has given up all the sense of possessiveness to say, this is mine, this is not mine. He is devoid of false ego. And such a person, he alone can attain the real peace. And that is this person, he will be eligible to enter the kingdom of Godhead. So that is how this chapter is concluded, dear devotees. So with this, I want to end the session. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripasindubhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kaura bhakta vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to all of you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and our acharyas and Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Radhika Kasturi, Mataji, Dhanavad Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. You have covered very nicely chapter 2 with the commentaries, Mataji, and a different style. Very, very grateful to you. You have given before also so many Bhagavad Gita classes, even in Bhakti Sangha, in the series that we did for the first series. I think you were one of the a teacher for us to teach Bhagavad Gita. Thank you, Mataji, for your time. Very grateful to you. Dear devotees, if anybody having any questions, realizations, please go ahead at this time.
Hare Krishna, Radhika, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji, for an expressive presentation of the second chapter. Very, very involved, and you literally enacted the entire second chapter for us. Thank you so much. For the very nice efforts and reading from Chakravarti Pad's commentary.
Thank you, Mataji, for this opportunity, and thank you for this series.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasturi, Mataji. Very nice class you took, Mataji. I just liked the way how you emphasized to say that how Arjuna went through, and like Arjuna, we are also going through. The all our problems, situations, And we are having this Sangha for us to keep on the track. You were saying about the soul. So I just liked how we were taking your endeavor in giving that point that this soul is not important. You are only the body. Like how it was like I'm seeing Krishna is advising Arjuna on the battlefield, the way you narrated. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Hare Krishna ka Mataji kotka. कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम शिल प्रभुपाद से लेकर उदय की जय श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय श्री श्री भागवत गीता की जय जी राधिका को सूरी गोपी की जय। सो नाइस श्री माता जी, आप जब एक्सप्लेन करते हो ना तो ऐसे लगता है कि लाइव हम लोग सुन लाइव देख रहे हो, दैट अर्जुना इज वी ऑल आर माता जी, एंड यू एक्सप्लेन सो नाइसली, नो नीड माता जी दैट स्लाइड्स यू मेक बिकॉज यू आर ऑल्सो वर्किंग माता जी। आई हैव सीन माई डॉटर दैट इट्स वेरी रिस्पॉन्सिबल जॉब स्टिल माता जी, जब भी आप आते हो छोटे छोटे बच्चों के साथ उनके लेवल से आप श्री भागवत गीता शेयर करते हो, और अभी भी माता जी आपने हृदय से आपने श्री भागवत गीता का चैप्टर 2 इज वेरी वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट माता जी, ऑलमोस्ट इन काउंसिलर इज वी आर 30 पीपल माता जी, तो दे आर गिवन अ वन वन श्लोका टू बाय हार्ट इट माता जी। कोटि कोटि दंडवत प्रणाम, सो मेनी वैष्णव आर देयर टू एक्सप्लेन दैट रियलाइजेशन, नो वर्ड्स टू योर सिंसियर सेवा। हरि हरि गौरांगा। Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, my
only,
dear Gopi.
I think you are encouraging everybody, Mataji, not a person you will miss in Bhakti Sangha. Not, I think through you, so many people are getting inspiration. That's what I would say. Always there to support every devotee in Bhakti Sangha. You are so, so, I don't know what to say, Mataji. But koti koti dandavat pranams to you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Bhakti Sangha ke sabhi teachers ko koti koti dandavat. Ek do din mein nahi hota hai Mataji. Ye varso ki sadhana hoti hai. Tab we can able to speak Mataji. Because of Sisi Acharya Gan, Sisi Sikh Kau Swami and our Guru Parampara and Guru Maharaj ki mercy se hi bol paate. Aise hi nahi bol paate Mataji. Koti koti dandavat pranam to you and all Bhakti Sangha teacher. Thank you Mataji beta.
Thank you Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, we have some chat comments, Mataji. I just want to read that. Yeah. Hagre Sinduleka Mataji is saying, Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanut Pranam. Thank you for the excellent, lively presentation. Thank you. Hare Revati Mataji is saying, Hare Krishna, Dhanut Pranam. Thank you so much for this beautiful class and explain in great detail between the conversation between the Krishna and Arjuna about body, soul and concepts. Yeah, thank you, Revati Mataji. Avasuka Sagari Mataji is saying, thanks Radhika for the spirited presentation. Hare Krishna. Yeah, thank you. I don't know who is that SP. Thank you for joining, people. Is there anybody having any more realizations? If not, we can close the call. I know Mataji is also busy. She had to go for work. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Radhika Kasumi.
Hare Bol.
Radhika Kasumi, sir. Wonderful class, fantastic class. So nice. And your expression was so good. From the heart you spoke.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. I see you in almost all the classes, Prabhuji. Thank you for the encouragement. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji. I would like to offer my obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas assembled on the call. Vancha Kalpatarobhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitanam Pavanipyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Radhika Kasturi Mataji Ki Jai.
All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada
Narachariya
Sindhu Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Gauranga.
Nityananda.
Nityananda. Gauranga. सबको मेरे
आपको मेरे दाम प्रभु जी हरी बोल
कस्तूरी गोपी की जय धन्यवाद
हरी बोल डी डिवोटीज विल क्लोज द कॉल हियर आई थिंक